Okay, well, this morning I've brought along with me some Easter food. And first of all, I've got these. Who can tell me what these are? Hot cross buns, that's right. Hot cross buns. I wonder if you've enjoyed a hot cross bun already this Easter. Has anyone? A few? Yeah. I like mine toasted with a bit of butter and some jam on. I don't know how you like yours. Does anyone differ from that? Does anyone like them differently? Any other suggestions of how you might have your hot cross buns? Bit of cheese in, okay, up the back, Andrew. With some butter, yep, just butter in there. Anyone else? Marmalade. You had what? Chocolate hot cross buns. Are there any left? We'll come around yours for lunch. Okay, we're going around there. Okay, great, yeah, hot cross buns. Now, what makes a hot cross bun, this particular bun, different from any other kind of bun that we might eat, or bread roll that we might eat at any other time of the year? What makes it different? Yeah, Andrew at the back? That's right, yeah, it's got a cross on the front, hasn't it? The clue's in the name, really, isn't it? Hot cross bun. Now, the cross plays a very important part in the Easter story, and that's where I want us to begin this morning. Because I want us to begin by looking at some different crosses that we might see in our everyday lives. Because we see them all the time, don't we? For instance, we might see a cross on a letter or a card that we might send to someone that we love or that we're fond of. For instance, you might have put a cross like this on a Valentine's card back on the 14th of February, or you might have put it on the end of your Mother's Day card just a few weeks ago. And this cross, or several of them at the end of what we've written, means that we what? What does it mean, putting a cross at the end of a letter or a card like that? It means that you love that particular person, doesn't it? Okay, another one. Then at school, we might see a cross like this when a teacher marks our work. No, not on Jeremy's work anyway. But some of you, maybe if you've been doing a bit of a spelling test perhaps, or doing some sums, if you wrote 2 plus 2, Jeremy wouldn't, but if you wrote 2 plus 2 equals 5, okay, you would probably get a mark like this next to your work, wouldn't you? And it doesn't mean that your teacher loves you on this occasion, does it? Although I'm sure that they do. It means, what does it mean? It means that you got the answer what? Wrong, okay? It means you got the answer wrong. Then another place that a cross is often seen is on an exam paper, when you have lots of different answers to choose from. And when you've finally decided what that right answer is, you're asked to put a cross in the correct box, aren't you? In just a few weeks' time, many of those of us who are over 18 and are able to vote in the up-and-coming general election will be asked to put a cross next to the name of the person that we're voting for, won't we? We'll go into a polling station, perhaps in a school or in a village hall, and there at the top of the sheet it will ask us, put a cross next to the party or the person that you want to become Prime Minister or the party that you want to come into power. And so, bearing all that in mind, this particular cross means that we have a choice. That's right. There it is. So here we have three crosses, and they each have different meanings. And at Easter time, as Christians, we think about another cross, don't we? It's a different shape to those ones of theirs there, but we believe that it's because of those three crosses that we need that fourth cross. You see, the Bible teaches us that we all love to make wrong choices. We all love to make wrong choices. Right back at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, where they chose to eat that apple when God had told them not to. Right through to when they shouted, "Crucify him," just before Jesus was put to death on that cross. Right through to today. We all love to make wrong choices. And the word that the Bible uses for this is the word sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what is sin? Well, sin, which almost always involves us being selfish or a little bit self-centered, it means, as that verse that I've just shared with you says, that we all fall short of God's standards. And it may only be a little word, but it all revolves around that letter I, doesn't it? Right at the centre of it is I. I want to do my own thing, we might say. I don't care about you. I'm more important than you. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's at the heart of sin. And the Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is death and separation from God. But you know, because God loves the world so much, he sent his son Jesus into it to take the punishment for you and for I. And he did that, as we remember at this time of year, by dying on that cross. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus died on that, what was originally called God Friday, but then got changed to Good Friday. He died on Good Friday, which we celebrated a couple of days ago. And we remember Jesus' death, don't we, by perhaps eating those hot cross buns. But of course, that's not the end of the story, is it? And that's what we're here to celebrate this morning. Okay, so we've had a look at hot cross buns already this morning. So what else is in this shopping bag of mine? Easter eggs. Yeah, some of you have guessed it already. Okay, so we've got here one of those, and a whisper egg as well. Okay, and there's something else in my bag. What do you think it is?
Chocolate rabbit.
Not a chocolate rabbit, no. What's one of these? It's a mallet. That's right, a mallet, a hammer, isn't it? And because I thought we were having such a smashing time this morning, I thought we'd have a go at smashing some of these eggs open. Is that a good idea? Yeah, the kids reckon so. Right, okay. Now we might need something a bit safer to break them in, I think, so we don't damage this table. I forgot, incidentally, I remembered on my way here, oh no, I forgot my safety goggles. So don't try this at home without some safety goggles, okay? Okay. So, shall we find out what's in this first egg? Where should we go first? This one, I reckon. Okay, so this one says, what's it got in it? It's got fruit-flavoured jellies, sugar-coated candies, and popping candy. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Oh, wow. Okay, shall we open it and see what's inside, okay? Now, I'm going to need someone to come and help actually smash this one. So who would like to be... Okay, Rosie, would you like to come up? Your hand was up first. All right, here's the egg. Okay, just get it out of the wrapper. Look at that. Okay, I'm going to place it in the middle there. Now, have you used one of these before?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you use one of those for? Banging in tent pegs or something like that? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, okay. I might take you on as my apprentice if you make drawers. Okay, right, well, yes. You know what to do then, don't you? I'll stand out of the way. Make sure your fingers are out of the way, otherwise you end up with a black thumb like that. Okay, give it a whack. Oh! Oh, what was in it? What was in it? Absolutely nothing. That's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Okay, well, let's have a look. No, it's absolutely empty, look. There's nothing in there. Oh, well. I'll tell you what, I'll sort you out with some sweets later on, but thank you for helping me open that one. That's right, there's absolutely nothing in that first egg, which, as we find out from the Bible, as we mentioned earlier, when we read from it, that egg is as empty as the tomb was when Mary Magdalene went to it and those other disciples along with her. They reached that tomb, didn't they? And they found that it was empty, that no one was in there. They had, of course, expected to find Jesus's body that had been buried there just 3 days earlier. But instead, they found that huge stone that had been placed in front of the tomb to prevent anyone from tampering with the body. They found that huge stone rolled out of the way. And as they entered the tomb, they saw those grave clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in just laying there on the side. But Jesus, he was gone. He wasn't there. And so the very first bit of evidence that we have that Jesus was alive again was that empty tomb. And of course, over the next 40 days, first Mary and then many, many other people, over 500 people, the Bible tells us, they all met him. And they met him in the garden, along the road, and on the beach. But for now, the proof that he was risen was that empty tomb. And you know, many people over the years have found that that empty tomb was for them the very first evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. And then they've gone on to meet him. Perhaps in a garden, perhaps along the road, perhaps on a beach, or in many other places. They've put their trust in a Saviour that was once dead but is now very much alive. I wonder this morning, if you're a Christian, when did you meet Jesus? Where did you meet Jesus? And that can become a reality, can't it, for each and every one of us. We can follow the Lord Jesus if we trust him as his disciples did. Okay, well, what's inside this next very ordinary looking egg? Shall we have a look? Let's open it and see. This one can't be empty as well, can it? Not two in one morning, surely. Okay. Here it is. Right, who would like to come and open this one? Okay, Guy, I saw your hand first. Oh no, there's going to be a few disappointed people this morning. I've only got three eggs. But maybe you can have it. No, I won't say you can have a go at home. Okay, Guy, have you used one of these before? Okay, remember, keep your hands well back. You haven't. Oh! Oh, look at what's inside there. Wow. An Easter egg. An Easter chick, rather. Look at that. Fantastic. Shall we? Look, I reckon if I hold this close to my microphone and I... Ah. Oh, it talks to us as well. That could get annoying, couldn't it? If you had that one all day. Thank you very much, Guy. Would you like to go and sit down? Thank you. Fantastic. Yes, at this time of year, during the spring, we see new life everywhere, don't we? In our gardens and all around us, flowers are growing and animals are being born into the world. But you know, the new life that Jesus offers us because of what happened at Easter time is even more exciting. When Jesus' friends went to that tomb with their spices in order to anoint his body, they weren't expecting to find new life at all. They weren't expecting to find any life. But as the angel said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And it's because Jesus is alive that we too can have new life. A new life which begins at that very moment that you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. When you ask him to forgive you for those wrong things, those sins, as we were thinking about earlier, that all those things in our lives that we do wrong, when we ask him to forgive us, when we ask him into our hearts and lives, then our new life begins at that point, and then it goes on into eternity. Okay, so that second egg speaks of new life, doesn't it? Right, now I've got one more egg here. Should you open this one? What do we reckon? Let's go at the back. I don't know your name, but at the front you come. All right, let's open this one. What have we had? We've had nothing, we've had a chick, and we've had... Oh, let's have a look at this one, actually. This one says, hollow milk chocolate egg with two bars of chocolate. And we've already got the chocolate, so there's probably not going to be anything in here, is there? You might have a bit of a disappointment, I'm afraid, but let's unwrap it. Let's see what's in here. Let's see if there really is anything in here. Right, okay. There's the hammer. Not too hard. I don't want to get blamed for damaging this table. Oh, wow, look at that. What's in there? Can you tell everyone?
Sweets.
Sweets. Lots and lots of sweets. Well, that is a surprise, isn't it? I didn't expect to find that. Did you expect that in there? No, I mean, we thought that there was whisper bars, but then when we opened the box, the whisper bars were in the bottom, and we thought, well, there's not going to be anything in there. But now we've opened it, there's refreshers, there's fizzies, there's drumsticks, there's all sorts of things, isn't there? That's a bit of a surprise for each one of us, isn't it? Well done. Okay, well, I'll sort you out with one of those later. Come and see me at the end. And you know, God, he loves to surprise us. He longs to give us more than anything that we could ever dream or imagine. And this morning we've been thinking about those friends of Jesus who were going to that tomb and they were expecting to find a dead body. But instead, God gave them a wonderful surprise. So how did those who were first to reach that tomb, how did they react? Well, they reacted in three very different ways. In that Bible account that we read earlier from John's Gospel, we're told that after Mary had gone to fetch Peter and John, the three of them ran back to the tomb. And when they got there, even though they saw the very same thing, they didn't all look at it in the same way. Peter, he wasn't the first to get there, but when he got there, he went inside, didn't he? And he was pretty curious about the whole thing. He went into that empty tomb and he looked around and he saw those strips of linen that Jesus had been wrapped in, just neatly lying there. Very interesting, Peter might have said to himself. He was curious. And then there was Mary, wasn't there? She was sad. The Bible tells us that at this point she didn't even go into the empty tomb. She just stood outside and wept because she thought that someone had stolen Jesus' body. And then there was John, the disciple who Jesus loved. And the Bible tells us that when John reached the tomb, he went in and he saw that it was empty and then he believed. He believed that Jesus had risen just as he said he would. So those three people, they all saw that same surprising scene. One was curious, one was sad, and one believed. And you know, that's pretty much the same way it is for people today, isn't it, when we hear the resurrection story. Some people will hear that account and they will be curious about it. Others will hear it and be sad. And yet some will hear it and will believe. I wonder this morning, where are you at? Which one of those three reactions is yours? Are you curious? Are you sad? Or do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Let's just pray, shall we? Dear Lord, today we look into an empty grave, as it were. Lord, help us to see and believe that Jesus Christ has indeed risen, just as he said he would. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to conclude our time together this morning by sharing with you a final story. Because it was exactly 200 years ago this year, back in the year 1815, that one of the most famous battles in European history took place between England and France. Can anyone remember what that battle was? Yep, Andrew? That's right, the Battle of Waterloo. The English general was a man called Wellington, and the French general was a man by the name of Napoleon. So who had won this great battle? That's what the British public wanted to find out on the evening of June the 18th, 1815. And as a lookout stood at the top of Winchester Cathedral, the message finally came through from across the English Channel. So the lookout began signalling to other stations around the country what the result had been. Wellington defeated, he signalled. But before he could complete the message, a heavy fog moved in and obscured it. And as you might imagine, as the message spread around the country, it brought about great gloom and sadness amongst the people. But when the fog finally lifted several hours later, the message was sent again, and this time it was sent in full. Wellington defeated the enemy. You know, on Good Friday, it seemed as though Jesus had been defeated, didn't it? As he was buried after he had died on that cross. But 3 days later, as the fog lifted, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he showed that he had defeated death, sin, and the devil.